But let us turn to God's word this morning. And we're going to turn our thoughts to Joshua today. We're going to consider for a few moments this morning Joshua chapter 1, and then this evening Joshua chapter 24. So I don't know if Pastor Cardwell could even get through the whole book of Joshua in one day. I don't know. But we're just going to take a few thoughts out of chapter 1 this morning and a few thoughts out of chapter 24 this evening. And may the Lord encourage us, enrich our faith, and give us that vision and faith to look out into a world of need in these days in which we seek to serve the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provision for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word to us today. Don't know if you're like me, you go and buy a new thing in the shop and you bring it home and you open the box and you bring out all the periphery stuff that's in the box before you get to the gadget. And you try to put the thing together and the thing just doesn't actually fit together and it doesn't actually go together, and then you get into a bit of a fix. And you wonder, well, what's going wrong here? And then your lovely, darling, dear wife comes along and says, What's wrong? I said, this thing can't go, and I can't get this thing here, and I can't get the other thing there. He said, well, did you read the instructions? Well, I never really took time to read the instructions. And then you pick up the instructions, and then you start to go back to plan A, and you go back to step one, and then you take it gradually, and it all comes into place. I know, friends, as we have new things coming into our homes and into our lives, sometimes they're not easily handled, and sometimes they're not always easily accepted. We're all people of habit. We are all people that like our little comfort zones and like to just have everything in order. And when something new comes in and maybe upsets us and maybe things change, and we just wonder, well, how are we going to cope? And I'm sure the people of God and wonder when how they're going to get over this Jordan and into the new land of Canaan. How they're going to see the promises of God fulfilled that they received of Moses, God's faithful servant. But the greatest surprise that we find here in chapter 1 of Joshua was Joshua himself. Because God was going to do a new thing in this man's life. Something that he wasn't just really prepared for. The time had come. He maybe thought about it. He knew something would happen when Moses was going to be with God and go to heaven. But now the time had come. And was Moses' successor, Joshua, really ready and prepared to take on the leadership of the people of God and march them over Jordan into the land of Canaan? Isn't that true, friends, this morning? God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. Israel had finished mourning for Moses, but now God had called Joshua in command to take the task of new leadership in the life and witness of the nation of Israel. It's wonderful, really, for each one of us this morning as believers. And if you're not a believer this morning, well, you should be, to know the excitement and the thrill and the comfort and assurance that we have in the world in which we live in today, that we have a God who is concerned about every detail that goes on in this world. You may not think it when we read our newspapers, when we look at our TV screens, but we have a God who is still interested in every detail that goes on in this world, and especially with us as his people. As the Church of Jesus Christ marches on today, all over the world, building God's kingdom and establishing God's kingdom, and seeing Christ's kingdom grow and extend and evangelism and all, God is concerned. And God wants to be part and parcel, just as he was here in the people of Israel. It's wonderful to look and see how God faithfully uses and appoints us as his servants to new roles of active service. God had chosen Joshua to be Moses' successor as far back as in the Battle of Amalekite in Exodus chapter 17. But Moses was told to remind Joshua and encourage him as his God's given commission that he would be the man that would lead the people and help the people to conquer the promised land, the land of Canaan. In many ways, this would have been a great encouragement to know that he was called of God as we come in here to chapter 1. For the tremendous task that lay ahead of him. But God gives to Joshua great promises to reassure him that he was going with God and going in his will. This little book, Joshua, of 24 chapters, is all about three things this morning. It would warm your heart, my heart. First and foremost, it tells us about the promise of the land. God has promised these people about a lovely, fruitful, flourishing, a land that would be their own. And they look forward to that. Is that not what we look forward to? Not only getting a new house and a new patio and a new car and a new boat. All these things are all maybe important within themselves. But there's something more as believers this morning. We look forward to a great and eternal hope when we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and enter into the promised land. Yes, the promise of the land here that we see in these verses. Secondly, the promise of God's presence. God was with these people. God was and his presence was not only had led them out of Egypt right up to the river Jordan, but was going to take them through Jordan and into the promised land. And here we have the promise of his presence with them. And then thirdly, the assurance that God would keep his word, never to leave them or forsake them. And is that not a good comfort for you and I this morning? No matter new thing that God brings into your life and my life, He has promises us this morning that his promise is always with us. It's always his presence is always there to help us and protect us. And also the assurance of his word to keep us stable, to keep us strong, and to keep us focused on him who is the most important one this morning, is the Lord Jesus. In the light of this new development in the people of Israel, the Hebrews and Joshua needed to know how to conduct themselves under this new covenant. God was amongst them to tell them some very important truths. And Joshua, like ourselves, was wondering what was going to happen and how he was going to cope with this whole new role of leadership with the nation of Israel. He knew this nation very well. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their backbitings. He knew their faults. He knew their failings. He knew the negative things about them. But he also was aware of the positive things. That this nation, with God's help and strength, and with God's ability, could do great things for the kingdom of God. And friends, this morning, and this was an occasion for Joshua and the nation of Israel, that they could look back and reflect on the past. And friends, know it's good to look back in the past and see our heritage that God has given us and how he's led us. And they could look back to the past and see how God had led them right up to the Jordan. But then they had to look to the future. When they got over this Jordan, there was a great amount of work to be done to get into the land of Canaan. And they had to get themselves in order. They had to see their inheritance under the auspices of God and under the control and the guidance of God. That God was going to really take them and bless them and use them and do a new thing through them. But how were they going to get into the promised land? How are they going to face this Jordan? Maybe that's your situation, my situation, in our lives as we seek to serve the Lord. God takes us to the Jordan at times and he shows us he wants to do a new thing in our lives. And when we step back, and usually when we read that wee book of Charles Swindoll, it one step forward and two steps back. And sometimes that is a situation in our own spiritual lives. God takes us to the brink of the Jordan. And we have all that enthusiasm to do something for God. And then the fear comes in and the weaknesses come in. And we're not really sure, is it really, should I do that for the Lord? And the devil so easy gets a victory. And we shy away from that which God has purposed for us. You know, friends, as these people of Israel, when they faced the Jordan, where was their vision and where was their determination? Where was their resolve? They saw the mountain of the difficulty more than the blessing on the other side. And praise God, God had to come in and intervene and challenge them and encourage them to get into the promised land. But here was Joshua, the young man, the young servant of God. And he was going to take on this new role of leadership. And how was he going to not only encourage these people, but to be determined to get these people not only into the land, but to conquer the land? You know, friends, this morning, maybe you and I, just like Joshua, we come with our weaknesses to the Lord and say, well, Lord, how am I going to cope with this new role in society? How am I going to cope with this new job? How am I going to cope with this new situation? How am I going to cope with that new situation and that difficult situation? Maybe in my family, maybe in my work, maybe in some sphere of my own circumstance. But you know, friends, this morning, as God came in to encourage Joshua, here in chapter 1, we see three things that will be a benefit to us this morning. First and foremost is God's instruction to Joshua in verse 8. Is it not true we live in a world of choice and decision? Every day we live, we are having to be faced with choice. Some of those that we take may be more important than others. Some may only affect our personal lives and circumstances. Others that we may make or maybe affect other people and their lives. But overall, what a responsibility when you and I are out in the service of God, that we are handling his word, we're sharing his word with others, and that is a big responsibility. At times we have to make choices. And here in the life of Joshua was a most important stage in his life as a leader of the Hebrew nation. He had to make a choice. And that choice was he willing and willing, was he ready to serve God even no matter what the consequences was. He had only to be assured of who he was, but also what he was doing and what he was going to take over in the role of Moses' leadership. God had taken Moses out of the way and brought Joshua into the to focus. And then chapter 1, he says, Joshua, come on now, get your act together. I am with you. No man be able to stand against you. Be courageous, be strong, and take over this nation. Take it not only over the Jordan, but into the promised land, and see the great things I'm going to do, not only through you, but through the nation of Israel. See, friends, God's instruction to Moses, these instructions this morning, was for God's people. And God has given you and I instructions this morning through his holy, inspired word. And that's the most important thing in life today. We hear on our newscasts, we hear on our news screens, we hear from our governments, we hear from society, all the agreements and all the promises and all the things they're going to do and all the things that they're hoping to achieve. And so often they all collapse and they leave us floundering. But God's word for believers this morning is our sure rock unto salvation, and also as we seek to serve the Lord this morning. These instructions were for not only Joshua, but they were for God's people. These people were no ordinary people. They were different and distinct. They were God's people. And they had a purpose and plan for God. Let us not forget ourselves this morning that we are no ordinary people. We are God's people this morning. We are chosen people. We are special people. We are called as a people of God with a purpose. And God has a purpose for your life this morning. No matter how you see your life and no matter how you see your circumstances, your situation this morning, God has a plan and purpose for you this morning. And we only know it and we only realize it. We only can decipher it when we read his word and digest his word. When we meditate upon his word and be willing to be obedient to his word. And then not only was the word of God important in the life of Moses and Joshua and the people of Israel, but it did something for the people, and it did something for God's servants. It set a standard before them, a standard which the other nations hadn't, the standard which the other nations couldn't offer, the standard which the other nations hadn't got. God's word has a standard for your life and my life, and still our lifestyle this morning, and praise God for that. The law of God was given to guide and to direct them, as I'm talking to the kids. Praise God, his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And this morning, friends, the law of God was given to guide them and to direct them. For what? For holy living. And that's what the Christian faith and the Christian life is all about. It's not only coming to church. Praise God for that, and that's important. I talk to people on the doorstep and they say, I'm a Christian but I don't go to church, I just have fellowship with the Lord here. I find that difficult to understand. I find that difficult to accept. Because if we're believers in Christ, we need fellowship with each other. And we need to come and worship the Lord and feed on his word. And to digest his word and to be built up in his word. But God's standard this morning, it wasn't only a book of rules and regulations. The law of God was given to give them holy living. And to bring that out which is good in them. And glorifying to God and for the benefit of the nation. The purpose of his law was to help them, to protect them from the sins and the temptations around them from the other nations. And praise God, friends, that's what keeps you and I from the sin that's so cluttered in this world today, is God's word. God's word keeps us not only safe, but it keeps us clean, keeps us pure. It keeps us strong, keeps us healthy, and it keeps us wise. Friends, this morning, God's word, God's standard for God's people, and then for God's relationship. There was something very special about this nation of Israel, and for Joshua here in chapter 1. He had a relationship with a holy God. And that's what the word of God teaches you and I this morning. Our relationship with the Lord. I just thank God that I'm married to my wife for 35 years. I think it is. Oh, you know, I said to her the other morning, I was going out and she was lying in bed. I said, I'm away out in the trailer this morning, but Laura, love, I love you just the same. She looked up and she said, what? I said, I love you just the same. Do you ever say that, man, to your wives in the morning? 7 o'clock? Don't be giving your wives a heart attack now. Don't be doing that. But she looked up and she says, what? I said, love, I love you. Desi, have you been sleeping all right last night? you know. And it's nice to be able to say that to our wives. 35 years. And what a relationship the Lord has given us. It's wonderful. But what a greater relationship we have with the Lord Jesus this morning. One who loved us so much that he gave himself for us on the cross. A God who had mercy and had love, that he sent his Son to the cross for you and for me this morning. That you and I not only be saved from our sin, and be saved for heaven. That's part of it. But God wants to come in and have a relationship, loving relationship with us this morning. A living relationship. A vital relationship. See, friends, this morning, God's relationship is paramount. And that was what these people had. Not only accepting the fact that God had taken Moses out of the picture, not only the fact that Joshua was coming in to be the new leader, and that was all exciting for them, but more so than that, that they were having God as their relationship. And that brought them together. You know, friends, there's one important thing that took the people of God into the promised land, and that was their togetherness. And that's what we need in these days as a church. Not only as a local church, but as a universal church. Oh, we have the Muslims and we have all the sects and all the isms. But what we need today is our togetherness. Unity. Purity. Harmony. Fellowship. And all these things that God has given us in his wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, through the gift of salvation, we can have these. And what took the people of God into the promised land was their togetherness. They went into the land together. Some of the tribes didn't say, well, you guys go with Joshua, we'll wait for the next guy. Or you go in this train, we'll go in the next train. They all had to go over the Jordan together into the promised land. And that's how we fight the devil and the attacks of the devil. And as believers this morning, as a local church and it is a denomination this morning, we need to build in that togetherness. That we are the people of God. Oh, we might have our differences. We might see things differ from each other. We might have our wants and we have, you know. But the blessing of God is not what you think of Tesco's or Lidl's or Iceland. Buy one, get one free. The best deal is going. That's what God's blessing for us today. No, we can't deal with God like that. God deals with his people as together. And God will bless his people when we are united and we go together with God. God's instruction for Joshua, much put on here. Then secondly, God's ingredients for Joshua. God's law was to be applied and relied upon at all times. In every given situation, these laws were not to be put in the mantelpiece or just to be put around their foreheads or carried under their arm. These laws were to be applied in their lives. These laws were to be meditated upon and to be shared as a nation with each other. These laws, friends, the ingredients for Joshua, they were originated from God. Joshua was a man with a purpose. He had ingredients in his life. And what made this man Joshua was that God came in and God did something in the life of Joshua that made him the man he was. And praise God for the people that we are this morning. It's not because anything of ourselves, not anything we have done, not anything we have obtained. It's only through the cross of Christ and also through the salvation. It's only by grace that you and I, what we are this morning, and praise God for that grace of God. What does grace mean this morning, friends? God's riches at Christ's expense. Many years ago, I was down at the Plowing Championships and we were putting out in the midst of the rain and the mud and the muck and the glare. There was a pitch in the back of the trailer and it was a wee bit of muck around it. It was a big, big pitch just in the back of the trailer down in County Cork. And this wee woman came round to the front of the van and said, "Mister, could I buy that pitcher from you?" And I said, "You sure could." I said, "A wee bit mucky at the bottom, but I'll clean it up for you and I'll give it." "Oh, it doesn't matter about the muck. I want to buy that lovely pitcher from a home." And I says, "Why do you want to really buy that picture?" She says, "My daughter's name's on it." And I thought actually her daughter had painted the picture. But do you know the text in the picture what it was? "By grace are you saved through faith." Her daughter's name was called Grace. But she didn't know the significance. She didn't know the meaning of grace. And I said, "You know the meaning of that word?" She says, "I don't." I says, "God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, she paid the £25, you got the picture. She took it home safely. And I hopefully it's up in her wall today. But I hope that she understands that the word grace is more than just a word. It's what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. God's ingredients for Joshua, they originated from God. They expressed his will for his people. And that's the ingredients that God brings into your life and my life. Through the power and the person of his Holy Spirit, he brings in purpose and drive and determination that we may be able to fulfill the will of God, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of God's people. And then there were commands, not suggestions. No, friends, we can't make deals with God. God comes with his commands. And he commands you and I to go forth into a world where they need to hear Christ. And they need to know the gospel. He comes into your life and my life to tell us how we should be walking, to walk a talk and to talk a talk. We can't do deals with God as we see the deals going around us today. God is a righteous and a holy God. And he's come in and he gave the commission to Joshua. Joshua says, "Who am I, Lord?" He says, "Joshua, get your act together. I'm sending you, but I'm responsible for you." And is that not a great bedrock for us this morning as God's servants? Wherever God leads you and I, into his servants, as his servants into his work, he's responsible for us. We're not responsible for God's work. Yes, we may be responsible for maintaining it and for looking after it, but God's responsible for us. And that makes a difference, friends. And so when we go in the purpose and the will of God, God promises that he will look after us. You know, whenever I left school, I got a job in the bakery, and whenever I went to apply for the job, there's three guys there, and the three of us got apprenticeships. And the Monday morning when we started into Reed's Bakery up the Castle Rock Road in Coleraine, the three of us got appointed to work in different parts of the bakery. The first boy, he was sent to ice the cakes, and I thought, boy, that's a lovely job, icing the cakes, you know, to ice all the wedding cakes and everything. Boy, that's a very nice job. And then the other boy, he got sent to cut out the dough, and that was quite a good wee job, because he only worked at the machine and worked at the wee dough things. And I said, that's all right. But the boss led me right up to the back of the bakery, and it says ingredient store. And, you know, I went into this ingredient store, and every day I was trying to weigh out the sugar and the flour and all the flour around me, and cut the oil lard and the oil margarine, and I'm getting myself all mixed up with yuck. And I said to myself, what a nasty old job this is. Why could I not get the job like the boy down icing the cakes? And why could I not get the job cutting out the dough? Why have I got this old job in the ingredient store? And then I thought about it. What's the most important place in the bakery? It's the ingredient store. Because that's where all the ingredients are weighed out and all of the ingredients are put together. And friends, if the ingredients are not right and the mix is not right, well then the product will not turn out right either. It all starts off in the ingredient store. You know, friends, the ingredients that God brings out in our lives and puts into our lives is very important. If you're going to really receive and know the blessing of God, we have to get into his word, and we have to derive from his word. We have to obey his word, and we have to trust his word. Just like Joshua had. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and courageous. Maybe this morning we have to go back to home and face those difficulties. Maybe we have to face those situations. Maybe tomorrow when we go back into work, we have to face that awkward boss who gets under our skin at times. And maybe we have to make choices tomorrow in our workplace. It's going to affect others. Maybe we have to go into a new role in university and take up a new course. Maybe we're going with someone in our lives, a partnership. And is it really glorifying and edifying to God? You know, friends, whatever the Lord tells us to do, let us do it under his will, according to his will, and with his blessing. Then not only can we see Joshua and his instructions, Joshua and his ingredients. God had put ingredients into this young man's life that he was going to be a tower of strength and a blessing. And we'll see later on this evening how he ended his days. But thirdly, as we close, friends, God's influence through Joshua. And God blessed Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, that there will be not only a togetherness, but there will be a fellowshipping. I know, friends, they went in. They had their territory to take over. They had to fight for the territory. They had to conquer the cities. But praise God, God was with them. And God's influence through Joshua was a blessing not only to God and to the people, but also to the other nations. See, friends, first and foremost, as we close this morning, what a message for Joshua, taking up this new role of leadership over the nation. There may have been the fear of the Moses shadow, but greater and better was the promise and the authority of God. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to live under someone else's shadow. Oh, he was a great man. I have to be like him. Oh, she's a great person. I'm going to try and be like her. No, be yourself. And be what God has made you to be. And fulfill that purpose that God has for you this morning. We need to walk this morning. Here, Joshua, he was a soldier, no coward. He was a statesman, knew how to live before people. He was a saint. He knew how to rely on God and his authority. Not only do we need to walk this morning, but we need to walk worthily this morning. How do we stand before the people who we work with and live amongst this morning? When I saw that brigadier yesterday leading the worship, I said, that guy could never be a brigadier. I could never see that boy in uniform. He had a shirt on him and red trousers, and Morris Flanagan looked at him and says, that boy a brigadier. Catch yourself on, that boy can never be a brigadier. But if you see him tomorrow morning, he'll be a different person, because he has to go and take up his post tomorrow. Are we the people that God wants us to be? Yes, friends, we need to walk worthily. Not as the world sees us, not as the world acts, but as God sees us and God wants us to be. And then we need to walk distinctly. Joshua, he knew how God started, and he knew what the stops of God were. Joshua was able to say in chapter 24, verse 15, as we'll see tonight, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May the Lord help us and be with us as we seek to live faithful and fruitful lives unto the Lord this morning. And as we close and sing this final hymn, may that be the resolve and the determination of our hearts this morning. As we're thinking about that hymn this morning, just before the service, you know, friends, that hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Sometimes the devil maybe gives us a hard time and will take all our faith away from us. But may the Lord build that faith and furnish that faith within your heart, my heart, this morning, that you and I will take up the challenge this morning God gives us and take up the commitment, go into the promised land and take over the land that he has prepared for us.